Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We are doing another episode of Paul is cooking his dinner while he talks to you.
Oh, good. What are you making tonight?
How did that come through? It's the same basic thing. It's food.
You're cooking food?
Of, well, yeah, I know, right?
Wow. Get crazy there in the Midwest.
I know. It's become an obsession. I eat food. I cook it. Shredded potatoes, cheese, and eggs.
One more breakfast for dinner for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very cheap but satisfying thing that fits in with the Boaz Frankel diet. Which, by the way, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter today. I posted, I have lost 10 pounds.
Congratulations.
Since I started this, which was about a month ago.
Oh. I did not see that on Twitter. My Twitter feed was full of a reaction from former FBI Director James Comey's Senate hearing today.
Oh, right. That happened.
Which,
how did that go?
You know what? The only see, here's the thing about Twitter. I get the only thing that the people I follow were commenting on wasn't really about the substance of what was being said, but the way people were saying them. I didn't watch the hearing myself, but all I know from it is that John McCain was kind of incoherent at times, and people are genuinely worried about him.
Now, people in the future listening to this, if you don't know who John McCain is, he is a senator. He ran against Barack Obama. The first time Barack Obama won?
Yes, in 2008. It was John McCain, and Sarah Palin was his running mate.
Oh, that's right. And it was... He didn't like the fact that he lost, I'm sure. Who would? But he was, before he started running for president, and correct me if I'm wrong, but sort of kind of beloved a little bit, like a guy from the right that the liberals could talk to, and they would invite them on shows, and they would talk to him and stuff.
He's a straight-talking, sort of moderate Republican. I don't really know about the moderate part, but he's a war hero, so he's got that going for him. He was a prisoner of war for a while, and so...
But, you know, the stuff one has to do in order to, you know, make it in politics when one is running for president.
Right.
He kind of burnt some bridges, if you will.
Yeah, well...
While he was running.
It's one of those things where he needed to appeal to the largest Republican base, and so he started doing and saying things that were uncharacteristic of Senator McCain. So, I mean, exactly. And I'm saying, like, you know, candidate McCain was a bit more right-wing, far right-wing, than Senator McCain was.
Because, right, exactly. Speaking to the base.
Yes. Yeah.
But, so he said some things that seemed a little incoherent.
I guess he wasn't, like, completely babbling, but sort of doing one of those Trump-esque train of thought kind of questions.
Mm.
That's what I get from Twitter. Again, I haven't watched it.
Now, the one thing I do know also is that apparently Labour did very well in the UK.
Oh.
The Labour Party.
Oh, really?
I don't know how well they did. I'm not that familiar
I did hear that Theresa May, who is the Tory party, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. Tory, yep.
Yeah, she is her days are numbered apparently for being prime minister. Well, I think a lot of people are unhappy with her, and you know, I kind of feel sorry for her because she became prime minister when the whole Brexit thing happened. And so David Cameron resigned because he said he would resign if Brexit passed. And then they thought maybe some people from the Brexit party would step in. like Nigel Farage or the former mayor of London, whose name isn't coming to me right now. Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson. And both of those guys were like, no, I don't want to do that. And so everybody was like, well, who's going to lead our country now?
And Theresa May was like, okay.
I don't know exactly how it went down. Jennifer will correct me, but I don't know exactly how it went down. But it was probably one of those things where it's like she was the, like, everybody standing in a line.
And they all took a step back,
and she was the only one who didn't.
Gotcha. Oh, speaking about Jennifer corrections, did she have any this time?
She did not. Well, actually, let me check. I haven't checked my email since I left home this morning. But Steven actually had a correction for us.
Oh, all right.
Just one small correction. And his correction was, it is just myriad. Never myriad of. Never.
Oh, did it? Was it me? Did I say it?
No, I think that was on me. I think I said myriad.
Ah, good, because I know the right way to say it, Ben.
Yes, you did.
So anyway, yeah. Too bad about that.
Oh, actually,
try harder.
So she said,
was it me?
She sent.
Oh, okay.
She sent an email 3 days ago. She says no corrections. She could editorialize about some of Steven's conclusions, but none of them would be relevant. And then she said one thing.
Okay.
And I'm quoting here, I suspect Betty will likely be on a STEM track and will end up focusing on mechanical, electrical, or architectural engineering, possibly robotics. But I'm not sure if she has the patience and inner drive to push herself in that direction. Aerospace is also possible, but again, that requires a certain inner resilience and need for achievement that I have not, at this point, had the pleasure of witnessing. So, she follows that up with, seriously, guys, we created an engineer. And then she actually included Steven on this email thread, and Steven replied, I was looking forward to your review of my meager offering. But one thing Steven did say when we were all done with
I will say this. He really does, I don't know, underestimate the amount that he contributes, I think. Because I loved talking to him. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is that when we were all done, he said he had a lot of fun. So maybe one of these days we'll have him back.
Yeah, I would love to have him back. Because Steven is great. And I like listening to him. And I like listening to you, Ben. Hey, how's it going? Hey. So,
One follow-up bit of business. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Rocket Man and how it was going to show at SIFF. And
yes.
You had wondered if you were actually going to be in the film because you remember filming some pieces for it.
Uh-huh. I'm nervous. Go ahead.
You are in the film.
Hey! Sorry.
There's a bit. I can't remember what episode it is before, but it's they have put you guys behind Franklin D. Roosevelt as he is talking about the Works Progress Administration, and it is you.
Oh, nice.
And John DeShazo and Ian Johnston and AJ Epstein, and you're standing in line behind FDR. And there's a really funny moment where two times you wipe your nose with your hand. And at the screening I went to at the Uptown, people laughed at that.
Hey, all right. That was probably on purpose. I'm guessing that I meant to do it.
Yeah.
In fact, I bet you if it was well received, Webster Crowell probably suggested to me that I do it.
Yeah.
Because he is a great director.
Yeah.
All right. So Ben, I want to let you know something about these eggs.
Are they
the egg that I'm about to put into this thing I'm going to be eating?
Uh-oh.
Was given to Jennifer by a friend of hers. And she said, I've had them for a couple weeks. Okay. Which could be fine. They were refrigerated. But I've noticed that on the bottom of these eggs, there is written a number, either 21 or 22. Some of them are written 21. Some of them are written 22.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know what those numbers are referring to. Let it be known, if anything happens to me, the egg that I am eating right now has a 21 on the bottom of it.
I'm wondering, so today is the 8th. She says she's had them for a couple of weeks, so it's probably not the 21st of May.
Oh! I need to give you this other bit of information.
Okay.
It is written on the bottom of them with like a white crayon, not stamped, written like someone went through and numbered all these eggs by hand.
Here's another thing: are they from home chickens, or are they from a like a big farm? So like it's
from
like
a home
one or two.
Chicken.
So maybe because I'm wondering if 21 or 22 denotes the chicken who laid the egg.
Oh. Hey, that's a good maybe the chicken that laid the egg.
Yeah.
Because how could anyone maybe the date that the egg was laid?
Yeah.
Possible.
So 21. 21
but
was
definitely not an expiration date, because how would one know?
Actually, I'm wrong. 21 was a couple of weeks ago. So it might have even been the date. If
date
they had them for
date, the thing that happened.
21.
Maybe. So yeah, now I am.
If you perish between now and the next time we talk, we'll know it was egg number 21.
Yeah,
that's the culprit.
It was egg 21. What did me in, Ben? I'm doing this specifically so that when Jennifer listens to it, she will go, "Oh my God!" Jennifer absolutely hates any bad accents I do. And you're going to say, Paul, what about all the good accents you do? There aren't any. Have none. I have no good accents.
Well, I mean, you will recall the sketch we never wrote, the bad accent store.
Oh, yes. And in fact, the bad accent store, I believe we were going to have Jennifer come in and be the good accent person. But I don't remember.
Right.
Why that never happened?
It was one of those.
Why does a lot of stuff never happen, Ben?
Well, I think it was
because we just don't.
It was one of those instances where we came up with a concept, but nobody wanted to write it.
Oh yeah. That happens.
Happens often. Quite a lot.
Okay, so I figure if this egg were bad, I would know pretty much right away. I'd be like, oh God, why, what?
I don't ever recall
and
having. Cracked open a bad egg. I don't really know what they look like. I know if it's super bad, it should smell bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I'm thinking of. There's this thing that says, whoa, that smells like a rotten
egg.
Well,
there's one test that you can do, and I've never conducted this test myself.
Oh, I didn't do it.
Where you put the egg in a bowl of water or a cup of water, and if it sinks, it's good, and if it floats, it's bad, or vice versa.
Oh, and you don't know which.
I don't know which. I could look it up, but I'm keeping it wrong here.
That's not going to help us. Yeah, exactly. Boy, if only there was someone who could tell us which it is, and then we could do that to...
And
I mean, we could
maybe
try that to another egg.
Maybe it's one of those... another 21 egg. And maybe it's one of those urban legends, like the fact or the legend that... You can stand an egg upright on the equinox? Again, huh. I have no idea.
I'll tell you what.
Some sort of, you know, it's a vernal equinox or something else where the gravitational pull is just right where you can actually stand an egg on end. I'm guessing
that was a superhero that we created.
Vernal
Equinox, who only had powers on the equinox, and that was it.
Just you wait until the 21st comes around, my man.
Yeah,
then you're gonna be in trouble.
I believe that might have been part of it, that he would send threatening letters to people, warning them.
Right.
That they better shape up, or else he would get them at that time. All right.
So
here's what I've done.
Is there another part of this where he would befriend criminals and try to convince them to wait until the 21st or 22nd?
Oh, see, that's a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, speak about 21st and 22nd.
Hey,
I've got these eggs out. Yeah. I've got a 21. I've got another 21. I'm putting it in the pot of water. Okay, I have not filled up this pot of water far enough.
Right,
because
I think a glass.
Is it glass?
I think a glass would be easier because then you can you have a tall cylinder.
I don't see anything.
I think I might have washed the 21 off. Don't put it in there. Hold on.
What?
So I put it into this other glass. Okay, Betty, put the egg in the mug.
What am I doing?
Just put it in there. Okay, it has sunk to the bottom. The 21 egg has sunk to the bottom.
Well, if I if my initial assumption was correct, then it's still a good egg.
Okay.
I want to see these eggs.
All right. Betty, put the eggs back when you're done. Because I'm done with the eggs.
You're letting her play with eggs?
I'm now going to eat my... yeah, don't crack them open or anything, Betty.
Okay.
All right.
I promise.
Okay, yeah, so play with them if you want, but put them back when you're done.
Okay. Don't break them.
Yeah. Don't cry over...
I had an interesting egg buying moment a while ago when I was shopping for eggs at the QFC here at the Broadway Market or Harvard Market. They have a small egg section. It's not like, and it's in a weird part of the store where somebody's like looking at eggs. You kind of have to scoop past them gingerly. And I wanted to buy a half dozen eggs. They sell just like things of six eggs.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen
and,
those.
And
they have those here too, Ben.
Yeah,
you should move here.
When I was going towards the egg section, there was a couple there, and they had taken up the entire egg section because he was at one end and the cart was between them, and she was at the other end, and he had opened up a carton, and I think it was one of these like big like 36 count egg cartons. It's like the three rows of 10, or no, that's
wow,
30.
Okay.
Anyway. Maybe just a 38. I don't know. It was larger than a dozen, right?
Three dozen eggs.
Yeah. So he was taking each egg out individually and inspecting it and putting it back and taking his time doing this. And I'm a pretty like impatient shopper, so I wanted to get in, get what I needed, and get out. And my dad had taught me a trick when I was growing up to quickly check for cracks in eggs. You open the thing up, and you just give each egg, like, you just move it a little bit. If it sticks, it's broken. But if it moves freely, it's fine.
Okay.
And so you don't have to take each egg out and look at it, whatever. So I walk away. I'm like, I can't get my eggs. And I come back, because I see them like rounding the corner to go to the checkout. So I'm like, okay, the egg people are no longer taking up the entire egg counter. So I go walking back to the egg counter, and the guy who works at the store had put the giant cart there to refill all the eggs. So even then, I was blocked in getting my eggs. So that's when I basically just threw my basket on the floor and yelled, "I can't get my eggs," and then walked out.
Sorry, that's not funny. That's why you should get eggs from friends of yours that have chickens.
And I do have friends with chickens.
Yes, I hesitate to mention them on this podcast because I don't know what the rules are as far as
you can,
people with chickens.
You can own chickens in the city. You just cannot own roosters.
What about the distribution of eggs, though? How does that work?
I don't think the egg distribution is as tightly controlled as like alcohol.
I was going to say Insane Clown Posse should be asked.
Why should the Insane Clown Posse be asked?
Because they have lots of questions about miracles. And I think getting chicken eggs from a friend fits into, I mean, man, when you want eggs, and all of a sudden you've got them, and the person who's given them to you is someone who owns a chicken. I've talked about this before, Ben.
Maybe.
Eggs from chickens that you've personally met are so much better than other eggs.
Eggs from chickens whose names you know.
Exactly. Always know your chicken.
Oh, that's the name of this episode.
Also, you should link to the video Know Your Chicken by Chibomato.
Chibomato, you got to know your chicken.
Or Cibomato. How do you pronounce it? Write us at...
Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Exactly. Because it's worth it.
Yeah. I pronounce it Chibomato. I could be mistaken, and I probably am.
Well, I don't know. It's probably, and, I mean, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a band, of Japanese people.
Yeah.
With an Italian name.
So choose your own adventure for pronunciation.
And when I hear you say "always know your chicken," I all I can hear is John Ennis from Mr. Show saying to the audience, "Always know your dealer." Yep.
He signed that in the book that I don't know where it is anymore.
Oh no! Did it not make its way to the Midwest?
Oh, speaking about which, John Ennis, right?
Yeah.
Twin Peaks. No, it made it to the Midwest. I just don't know where it is and which box.
Okay.
I think anyway. John Ennis in Twin Peaks. His part, not that large. People were complaining about it.
Yeah.
I can't say much about it. And
there's
a lot more. What? Me? I would like there to be more. But here's the thing about it.
Yeah.
The thing that he does in the show, right?
Yeah.
Becomes a catchphrase or it leads to something else that is much more prominent.
Okay.
Meaning, like, imagine if you will, you've got a friend and your friend's in RoboCop. He goes, "Hey, I've got a part in RoboCop. It's great."
I know where you're going.
And then somebody says, "Oh, well, that's cool." And then they see it and they go, "Oh man, it's too bad. You were only in it for a few seconds. But Ben, as you know, and as you know, I'm going to this. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going.
I have to keep myself from saying it.
If your friend is the..." Go ahead and say it.
No, I'm not going to steal this away from you. You take it.
Oh, okay. If your friend is the "I'd buy that for a dollar" guy.
Yeah.
Who cares? You're immortal.
Exactly.
It's like that. It's there's a thing that he does that is what would you say? It's the linchpin.
Heyo.
I made that pun a different time to someone else about something else, but I used it again this time. He's the linchpin of what was one of the funnier scenes in that episode, in my opinion. And it didn't have to be funny, but it was.
Great. Hey, well, now that we're talking about Twin Peaks, I think this is a good time to tease an upcoming guest appearance on the Goody Lawrence podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
I happen to, through other means, have a conversation with our friend Eric Ray Anderson.
Eric Ray Anderson, also known as E-Ray.
E-Ray.
You may have heard us talk about him on this podcast before.
And I had to make arrangements to meet him because he has a tape of an old show that he directed at Annex that they want me to digitize. So when I was...
Wait. Can you tell us what the show is?
Yeah, it's called Claustrophilia.
Claustrophilia about... Let me do it. About Edgar Allan Poe.
You know what? I don't know.
Oh, it's about Edgar Allan Poe.
I saw the show, but it's been like 18 years. Stars Chuck Leggett and Alicia Delmore. So he handed me the tape.
Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure.
I had to
about Edgar Allan Poe. If it's not,
I'm sure
correct us.
I'm sure there are some Poe-esque elements to it.
Poe money, Poe problems, Ben. It's claustrophilia. And when it's digitized for Annex, is it going to be available on the World Wide Web?
Probably not.
Oh, Annex Theater, what are you doing?
But it's probably not going to go on the
YouTube channel.
It's probably not going to go on the YouTube channel, but I'm sure I'll have it on Dropbox because I'll be sending it to different people. So I'll show you the link. Anyway, where I'm going with this.
Okay. This is my point. Really, really quick. You don't have to put it on your channel. Annex Theater should have a YouTube channel.
Annex Theater does have a YouTube channel.
Why don't they put it on there?
I don't know. Maybe it has... That's Annex Theater's purview. That's not mine. I don't know what the...
What about Naked Ladies? Is it anywhere online?
I don't... See, here's the thing. Claustrophilia, I think, is owned by Beckett. Not Beckett. By dramatists. You know, I think the script is owned by an entity.
Oh.
I was able to put Naked Ladies online because we wrote that ourselves. We own the copyright to that.
Wait, is Naked Ladies online? Have I just missed it? Is that...
No, it's online. It's on my YouTube channel.
What?
Yeah, the whole
thing. Ladies and gentlemen.
The whole thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Naked Ladies
which Ben and Lawrence and I did. It was, you know how people are like, all like, oh, hey, wow, this movie was made from a tweet or this thing was whatever. Naked Ladies was a show written based on a riffing thing that Ben Lawrence, Becky Poole, and I did at Annex Retreat. It is the most annexy of annex that ever annexed. Yeah. And who knows if it's good? You'll know if you watch it. And don't leave anything if you don't think it's good. If you do think it's good, though, let us know.
I'm actually quite fond of it. And in fact, it has received a number of hits on YouTube because of the title alone. And
oh, yeah. I believe that our idea started way, way, way back when we just said, just to have that on the marquee, yeah. We'll get...
Yeah, having it on the marquee. So I'm pretty sure that a bunch of 13-year-old boys have watched the first, like, 30 seconds of it. But I still get that hit count. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
I asked Eric, like I said via text, I asked E-Ray if he wanted to be on the show to talk about his Twin Peaks experience. And he said he'd be more than happy to. He couldn't do it today because he's performing out on Vashon Island. However, he also wouldn't have been able to do it today because his episode hasn't aired yet, and he's not allowed to talk about it till after
he
it airs.
He is allowed to talk about it when it airs, though?
He is allowed. Well, he's not allowed to say, you know, like trade secrets or anything like that, but he said he would be more than willing to come on and talk about the experience and talk about his interactions with David Lynch. And he also said... That so he's got a very much he's got a small part, but another local actor has a bigger part in the same scene, and he said he'd be, I don't know who this other actor is, but he said he'd be willing to bring that other actor on the show, so we may have two concurrent guests, two simultaneous guests, whenever we're able to make it, which will be sometime later in June or early July.
That would be great. I would love to do that. Now, The one thing I want to make sure, whoever this other actor is, we need to find out who they are, because I don't want to just talk about Twin Peaks with them. I would love to find out more things about them, who they are as people.
You know, well, that's something that we can discover on the show.
Because if it's too exciting, if what we're doing is too exciting, I'm afraid that Joe Garden might listen to and like this episode.
He might listen to the entire hour?
I don't know that that's the case, but it might happen. And for those of you who haven't listened to every single episode, this fact may have been lost on you, but Ben Lawrence and I are doing this podcast for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make sure Joe Garden doesn't listen to it. And we've been doing pretty well so far. If I
don't know, we have. I looked at the subscription stats lately, and we have about 30 to 35 subscribers.
Wait, what? How did that happen?
I have no idea. It hovered around like 8 to 10, and 3 of those are me. because I've subscribed to the feed at home, I subscribe here at work, and on my phone.
Did you hear my laugh get fake right away as soon as I realized that more people might be listening? I was like, oh, Ben, the fun we have. Anyhow, let's get serious.
Anyway.
No, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
You realize the thing that would bring the world to the end of the world. There's got to be a better way to say that. You know what would bring about the end of the world?
What's that, Paul?
Is if Boaz Frankel is actually a guest and Joe Garden listens to that episode.
Do Boaz and Joe know each other?
I don't think they do. But 6 degrees of separation, I've met both of them.
Yeah.
I've actually hugged both of them. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah. Talk about a linchpin. My goodness, Ben. So... E-Ray also, while we're talking about him, brought about one of the most, one of the most surreal things that has happened to me in a while.
What's that?
Watching him and his compatriot, who I don't know, play Mr. Fantasy on, I believe, ukuleles.
Mr. Fancy.
Mr. Fantasy.
Oh, Mr. Fantasy. I still don't know it. But it wouldn't surprise me that he
Mr.
played
Fantasy on is a. If that's not the name of the song, E-Ray, please tell us what the name of the song is if you happen to listen to this. If you don't, I'll ask you again. Or I might forget. But the idea that I'm almost positive there's a thing, there's a. You do remember that he and somebody else played ukuleles together, right?
Spin
the Bottle?
He plays ukulele with a couple of different groups.
Okay, it was him and some other guy.
Some
other guy. If you listen to this, sorry.
Was that some other guy? Was he the one who like shredded the ukulele?
Yes.
Okay, I remember who you're talking about. Yeah,
that's the guy, and that was the song that it happened on. All right. Was great. And I was watching it, going, "This is happening. This is actually." And for a long time, I fantasized about that song, specifically that version of that song, being in like a bank heist or something.
Yeah.
Because it would work out.
So,
I have lots of... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to change the topic completely, so are you still on that thread?
Oh, I was just going to say, I have lots of things that I... Whenever I listen to a song, this is true.
Yeah.
I always, after listening to it about four or five times... I have like a fake scene in a movie that I have put on that song.
And it's always a bank heist for some reason.
It's almost always a bank heist. Or someone getting shot at by a helicopter during a bank heist. Hey, wait a second. Hold on. Yeah. Bank heist mostly. So go ahead, Ben. What were you going to say?
Hey,
change the topic.
So I was going to change the topic and say, so there are a couple of instances that we've talked about on the show where you have just become angry or you hold grudges. And one of those...
Oh, yes.
I think,
are we talking about the Guild
45th? Yes, we are talking about the Guild 45th.
All right. I am sad about it. I am sad that the Guild 45th is closing. Unless... that guy still worked there, and now he's out of a job. In which case, ha-ha!
So the backstory is Landmark Theaters terribly mismanaged a couple of great movie houses here in Seattle, the Guild 45th in Wallingford, and the Seven Gables in the University District, and they closed. And I'm sad they're gone, but like, I lived within walking distance of the Guild 45th for 15 years, and I think I'd only been there just a handful of times because it was... the dirtiest theater out there. They never put any money into those theaters.
And for some reason, the people that manage them, at least for some times, are total jerks.
Yeah. The manager of the guild is still...
Was it the manager or was he like an assistant manager?
Maybe he was the assistant to the manager.
I like to think he's... yeah, exactly. I like to think that he isn't actually the main boss because that would give him some...
That's why he was always so angry.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Or it could be the manager. Could be. Don't think so.
Anyway.
And hopefully he's not the same guy.
So if you...
Wouldn't it be crazy if it turns out that it's some guy that you know now, and you just forgot that it was him because...
that would be crazy.
It never came up? Yeah.
And he's... he tells this, and maybe he tells a story to his friends of the day when he finally snapped and yelled at people.
Yeah. Can I tell you this? Also, I honestly don't remember what it was that he did, except that he yelled at us. Did he yell at us and we weren't even doing anything, or did he yell at us and it was justified, I still got mad at him?
I think it had something to do with us lining up either to buy tickets or to get into the theater, because it was outside.
It was outside, okay.
And we might have like been on the wrong side of the stanchion.
Oh, here's what I remember. I remember as being not inside the theater itself, but like, is there an entryway at all? So we weren't actually standing directly outside. We were kind of half outside,
like a small vestibule before you get into the lobby.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I think that's what it is. I think that we were standing there because it was raining or something.
Yeah.
And he told us that we had to go outside. I think that's what it was.
Oh, was it? Oh.
But I could be wrong.
Was it one of those instances where we were trying to get into the movie, but they hadn't finished cleaning it, if they ever cleaned it, honestly?
Yeah, it might be. Wait a second. What if it's dirty because I complained so much and it got around to them? And they're like, okay, guys, look, we got to either keep the customers happy or clean the theaters. Better just stop cleaning.
Better to just let people in. That way we don't have to pay our guys as much. because we're not having them do it as much work.
All that I remember is there was a back and forth of some kind.
Yeah.
Some kind of a back and forth where I was like,
your memory of this is stronger than mine, because it obviously had
it's not that strong.
Something for you. It meant something to you.
There were other people with us there. Do you remember any of who those people were?
Was it like other friends? I thought we had just gone to see the movie on our own.
Okay, here's the question. What movie was it? Do you remember that? I don't.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't.
And yet, I still hold this grudge.
I can barely
see his face.
I don't even remember the last movie I saw there. I vaguely remember going to see a movie, but I don't remember what it, I mean, within the last, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah.
But everybody was saying, oh, they show great movies there. They showed the same movies everybody else showed at the Guild. It's not like you could only see one specific, you know, if a movie was playing in only one place in Seattle and it was at the Guild 45th.
Now, I will say that I do remember enjoying a movie that I saw there. I don't remember which movie it was.
Yeah.
I remember having a fine time, which is why that other time sticks out of my mind as being bad. But I think there was a back and forth. I think there was an actual, like, he yelled at us. And we might have said something back to him, or we might have just waited until he left and then complained about it.
My memory of this instance is like when you wake up from a dream and most of it just kind of floats away. And like I have like images in my mind of what happened, but nothing else.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we don't have to worry about that anymore because that theater is no longer there.
And if you liked it and you mentioned it earlier on Twitter that you were sad about it, and I consider you a friend and I am now talking badly about the Guild 45th, I apologize. But you probably don't listen to the podcast, so I don't think we've crossed the line.
So one of two things is going to happen to that space. Either the owner of the building is going to sell the land and they're going to develop it, or some other company is going to come in and buy the building and hopefully remodel it and turn it back into a movie theater, because it is a classic old building.
It is. Yeah. Well, let's see now.
And it's
out of the movie theaters that we used to go to.
Yeah.
The Neptune has become a theater, like an actual theater where people like perform.
The Neptune's more of a performance space. Now you can see bands there. You can see like stand-up shows. They've taken out all the seats so they can open up the floor for dancing. They've put a bar in the back.
I think I actually saw John Hodgman at the Neptune.
You might have. That sounds like a good venue. So yeah, so the Neptune's more of an auditorium. These days.
I saw John Hodgman and what's his name from Long Winters? Oh gosh,
John Roderick.
I should know his name. Oh, John Roderick. Sorry, John Roderick, who doesn't listen to this podcast. John Roderick opened for him, and it was pretty cool. He did a lot of cool things. Did John Roderick run for mayor? Was he one of the people running for mayor?
I don't know. I think he ran for city council.
Oh, that might be it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he didn't win, which is too bad, because I thought he would actually be good. He's an interesting fellow. So let's see. Egyptian, still open or closed?
The Egyptian did close. But Sif took over management and reopened it.
Hey, all right. And Sif is the Seattle International Film Festival that will always stand out in my mind for two reasons. One, because Ben and I were going to go see a movie and it wasn't available, so we went to see another movie instead, and that movie turned out to be Happiness of the Categories, which is great.
And
I recommend it.
I'll also tell you why we got in line for that movie, even though we didn't know what was going to happen. There was a cute girl standing at the end of the line with like blue hair.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The girl with the blue hair. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And
let's go stand in that line.
The reason that the other reason why this thing stood out in my mind, Takashi Miike, director, was there.
Yeah, he was there.
And the three-stage laugh joke happened, which I talk about all the time to people because I think it's great.
Yeah.
Somebody asked Takashi Miike why he made so many movies. And then he said something in Japanese, and the people who were fluent in Japanese laughed.
And then the people who were sort of fluent in Japanese, but not as well, laughed. And then the person who was translating for him said, I get paid for every movie I make, right. So I make a lot of movies. And then everybody laughed. Yeah. It was a really, it was great.
There was also, I remember one other question. So if you haven't seen Happiness of the Katakuris, that there's a mixture of like claymation, stop motion with live action. And one of the questions to him was, why do that? Why have claymation sequences? And his response, and again, I think it was one of these three stages of laughter. His response was, otherwise I would have killed my actors.
Yes, that's right. He's great. He was great. It was really it was a fun time. And then also Seattle International Film Festival did this thing called the Row Room, and I think there was another one, but it was a movie by Lech Malievsky. And Lech Malievsky and I had a conversation where I talked to him about his life and his work. And one of the things he said to me has stuck with me all the time. And I share it now with you, all of you via my podcast, which is the first thing the world says to you is no. It says, are you really sure you want to do this? Because he talked about how if he had ever taken no for an answer, he wouldn't have become a director. He wouldn't have done this. He wouldn't have done that.
Right.
You know, he went on to like individual things in the movies that he did, because it's always, no is always the first thing. You have to really try. You have to try it more than once.
Yeah. That's good advice.
And I like that. Yeah. So
I missed his name though. What's his name?
Lech Malievsky.
Lech.
It's got a aspirated H. I don't know how you pronounce it. I mean, I don't know what the term for it is.
What's his last name? Malievsky?
Lech Malievsky, yeah.
All right.
Just look up Row Room, R-O-E-R-R-O-M. He's the director of that.
All righty. The SIFF also runs the Uptown in Lower Queen Anne, which is a great theater.
And is it still open?
Yeah. No, it's one of the theaters. So SIFF programs annually. Aside from their annual festival, which runs for about a month, they also program year-round. And they also have the SIFF Cinema inside Macaw Hall.
That's right. Macaw Hall. Now, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, part of the Seattle Center?
Yes.
Is that right? Yes.
It's on the Mercer Street.
Oh, Seattle Center. Which, by the way, if you didn't know this already, the fountain is a musical wonderland. It is really great. Lots of cool music at that fountain.
And they actually program. Are you familiar? They program the Jets to the music.
They program the Jets to the music, and I have something to tell you that you might not know about this. And I am stalling because I'm trying to think and don't. James Wetzel. I did not look it up.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of his name.
No, I do know what you're saying.
And I know him. This is one of the worst things when you know someone and you're like, what's his name? And I blame phones because I'm so used to like just looking at people's name and going, oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
James Wetzel has, as long as I have known him, been the programmer of that fountain.
Yeah.
And he has music that he does on his own. He plays a lot of interesting musical instruments.
He plays like a balalaika or something. He plays a bunch of different
He can do tube and throat singing, I can tell you that. That is true. And yeah, he's really interesting guy.
But yeah,
speaks French, I believe.
One of our local magazine shows here in Seattle, I don't remember which one, did a story on him, and they showed it's all underneath the fountain. All this control is underneath the fountain, and so they showed like where he programs the music and like how they get the Jets to sync up with the songs. It's really interesting.
So he is close to being a superhero. basically. If he is not one already.
I don't think he lives underneath the fountain.
Speak about this. Comey's testimony. Now, I didn't see the live thing or whatever, but I read the testimony that he turned in.
Okay.
The written statement.
Oh, right, yeah.
And there was a thing I posted on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. I think you might have. Where he talks about Donald Trump saying that this Russia thing is a cloud.
Right.
It's a cloud. And then he starts saying like stuff like, I can't make the deals I want to make because of the cloud. And I started to think, okay, if he were a supervillain, which I'm not saying he is, but if he were
a bumbling supervillain.
I can't make these deals because of the cloud.
Dun, dun, dun.
The cloud is a yeah,
look,
exactly.
Up in the that sky. Is, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's a cloud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there
no,
he is.
It's not a cloud. It's the cloud. Well, what's he look like to you? Okay, boy, he looks like a kitten to me.
Because over here, I don't know if you saw that there are like a couple of clouds over here. And that one looks like the cloud.
Where's the cloud going?
You know, there was a superhero called Cloud, actually.
Cloud?
It was a character in the New Defenders. Cloud, not the cloud, just Cloud. And the interesting thing about Cloud was transgendered, I believe.
Was it?
And Cloud was like for real superhero changing from, I think it was from male to female, but
at
I don't
will?
Remember exactly.
At one time would best serve his or her situation.
I think the idea was that Cloud was attracted to someone and altered their gender to make themselves more appealing to the person they were attracted to. Which isn't
well,
the right reason to do
isn't
it, you guys.
That just convenient?
But is it really my place to say that's not the reason to do it? I mean, honestly, if you're doing it for any reason, you're still doing it because you want to? Look... All I'm saying is look it up, New Defenders, Cloud, and I bet you that the folks on your other podcast, which is called Not the Panel Jumper, hold on. See, this is the thing. It's not just your other podcast is called...
It also starts with a P, which might be
bound,
confusing.
Bound, Perfect Bound Podcast.
Yes.
Perfect Bound Podcast.
The other show I do.
Is a place where you could probably find the real answer to that question. Oh, speaking about which, Twin Peaks trivia, and I am hoping one of our listeners can find out the truth on this.
Because it's out there.
People have often said that season 2 of Twin Peaks is bad. And part of the reason was David Lynch stopped being as involved in it. And I never understood why, and from what I understand, Ben. Are you familiar with Twin Peaks? Have you watched it? Do you know the character names?
I have not watched it, but I am familiar with the whole, like, Twin Peaks as a social, as a cultural, pop cultural phenomenon kind of thing.
Are you familiar with Audrey?
No.
Audrey Horne. Okay. So there's a character named Audrey Horne, who is a high school student, played by Sherilyn Fenn, who is a classmate of Laura Palmer's. Agent Dale Cooper is an FBI agent who comes to investigate Laura Palmer's murder.
Right.
And the idea that was put forth by, I believe, David Lynch, I believe that this is his plan, was that there would be a romantic relationship between the FBI agent and this student. And the studio, either the network or members of the cast. I know one of the stories, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, like, you know, put a rumor out there that isn't true. And I don't think that it's a rumor that isn't true. I think that I just don't necessarily know all the details enough to put down, but anyhow, they said nope, don't want to do it. And I think that because of that, David Lynch kind of backed away.
Was it?
It was like, well, if I can't do my thing.
How old is this? Was this student supposed to be?
High school senior, I believe.
All right, I can see where the studio would want to not explore that plot line.
Well, the idea, I believe, is that she was out of high school by the time this happened.
Okay.
So they met when she was in high school. It's still problematic, perhaps. I understand.
Here's a bit of...
But I think that's the story
of it.
Here's
a bit of trivia.
I believe...
The gal who plays Laura Palmer was in a show at Annex back in 88.
Wait, what?
Yeah. But I just learned that this past weekend.
Wow, that is crazy. Which do you know what the show
I
was?
I don't. I think it's Straight Jacket. I think this was like one of their very early shows, like from between 86 and 89.
Okay. Is this back in the time when Paul Giamatti was part of it? Or
I think
was
this might have been slightly before Paul Giamatti.
Okay. And who was Paul Giamatti on stage with? It was the Fatty Arbuckle, wasn't that?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the show I'm thinking of?
He played, yeah, in Fatty Arbuckle Spookhouse Review, he played Tweedledee or Tweedledum, and I do not know the name of the other guy who played the other character.
Because there is a thing that I saw that was either him or the other guy, I don't remember who, that was just great because it was vaudeville.
Yeah.
But it was so...
You're talking about the paper
like,
cup?
So broken down and basic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am talking about the paper cup. And Ben, tell me if I've got this right. He goes, hey, look over there for a second. The guy looks and then he pours water on him. Isn't that basically it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I believe it's Paul Giamatti who does like the pouring. So what happens is he tells the other guy, hey, look over there. So the other guy looks over there and then he takes his time to roll up a piece of paper, stick it in the pans of the other guy. And then, like, gets a like produces a glass of water, and then just pours the water in the paper funnel. And while the guy is still just staring off into space, his pants
are
just getting soaked, and it looks like he's wet himself.
It is so good.
Yeah, a great deconstruction of
so
that
good.
Bit.
Oh my gosh! Oh, that made me so happy to remember that. So let's see. What else have we missed? Anything? Is there anything that we haven't covered that we wanted to? We don't talk about the show really, but I just mean, is there anything you want to talk about?
I think
about
I hit all the points I was going to hit, which was just the letting you know or talking about the Guild 45th. Annex had we had our 30th anniversary weekend this past weekend.
Right. Actually, that's something I didn't think about. Did we? Spin the Bottle was going to happen the night after we had our last show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it happened that night.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did it go over? Because I know that it was a little, you know, a little inside baseball,
I
want to say. So I didn't know how it would go
over.
I got up and I
did a thing that we never did, which was introduce the videos. But two reasons made me get up to beforehand to introduce the video. One was because I felt I needed to explain it just a little bit. This is part four of, you know, an ongoing series. And so if it doesn't make sense, go back and watch the first three. And I told them where to go. But also, Brett had programmed us at the very beginning. We were the cold open. And the audience was packed. It was a sold out house. And it was a lot of Annex alum, like people who'd been around Annex for, you know, since the beginning. And at one point, Katie, the stage manager, goes out on stage because they have to find extra seats. So she goes out and she on stage and she does that thing where she asks people to raise their hand if the seat next to them is empty. But I noticed that when she walked out on stage with a microphone, she got like people started clapping because they thought the show had started. And I'm like,
right.
This audience is ready to go. And so they just need, you know, they just need that release. So I'm like, I am going to milk that for all it's worth. So when it was finally time to start the show, I walked out on stage and the applause break happened for about a minute and it was great.
Nice.
So So Ian Johnston already put pictures on online of the show that night. And the first like five or six are just me like with my arms spread out, you know, welcoming the applause. And then just like nice. Standing there waiting for it to finally die down.
And then, Paul, the video happened. Dead silence. 5 minutes of
people
silence.
Liked it.
Nobody.
Scott
people left.
Scott O'Moore said he enjoyed it. I think people really, you know, they got it. You know, if people were familiar with Doctor Who, they understood what where we were going with it.
Nice, nice.
So yeah.
Well, that is awesome. I and here's the thing, honestly, Scott O'Moore. Somebody whose opinion I care about.
Yeah.
So if he liked it, I'm happy.
And I got home at 4 a.m. the next
Whoa.
Day. Because, you know, people stayed and partied. And then we had the actual party on Saturday. And I got home at like 3:30 a.m.
Wow.
And yeah, it was... I'm glad it happened, but I'm glad we don't have that kind of thing every weekend. Because I was just waking up destroyed the next day.
Could you imagine?
I can't.
I mean, if you lived in a city where you were like one of the 10 games in town, and every night you have to do that, it's crazy. So, speaking of it's crazy.
Hey, buddy.
I believe it. Yep. Hey, buddy.
Sorry, is that where you were going?
He's coming. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So, while Betty comes in, I'm going to tell you, Betty and I have become, I wouldn't say obsessed necessarily, but we are very interested in this thing called Picks to Picks.
Picks?
Are you familiar with this, Ben?
No, I am not.
P-I-X, the numeral 2, P-I-X. It's something that is using computer learning, and by that I mean computers.
Basically, you draw something and then you... hit convert, and then it makes that drawing into the thing that you were supposed to be drawing.
Right.
It tries to guess what you were drawing.
Exactly. But it doesn't just try to guess what you're drawing. It uses a neural net to approximate a photograph of that thing.
Really?
So you draw...
And the results are pretty funny.
So
is it picks2picks.com?
And for those two people,
picks
to
pick. No, it's picks to picks. You got to search
for
it.
Oh, it's an app.
Two people who listen to it.
It's not an app. It's an online app. So it's a web app.
Gotcha.
People who listen to us do that right now.
Yeah.
It's a photomorpher with the word F in photo.
Oh yeah, photo. If it'll be the right. If you get the right thing, it'll have the URL will have photo at the front of it. F O-T-O.
Okay.
And it's a .nl address. The one that I used, anyway.
.nl.
And you basically draw a face, and it makes a face. I think it's Netherlands,
yeah,
but I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Sure. You draw a face, and it makes a face. It's pretty
so
cool.
I just have to Bing picks two picks?
Ben.
So what's my question?
What is the question for Betty this,
well,
this time,
that's
Ben?
A good question. What is the question for Betty?
Betty, the question for you is, what is the question for you?
You stumped me.
Okay, well, wait. I think you'll be able to get this. Listen carefully. The question is, what is the question for you?
Please wait while processing.
What is the question for me? That's the question for me.
There you go.
She did it.
Success.
All right. Well, with that, Ben, I think we're... Oh, shoot. No, we got at least another minute. all right. So I'm going to tell you really quick. Betty has... You know the things... Okay, Betty, we're going to try to describe this to Ben.
It's basically a whisk, but you kind of...
So it's like a whisk.
Okay.
But you kind of separate the bars apart.
But the bars are separated apart.
Yeah.
And then they've got little beads at the end of them, and you stick it on your head.
And it
push
feels
it towards
really...
your scalp, and it feels weird.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So we have one of those.
Yeah.
And she has put it on her head, her knees, and her foot.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing that'll be interesting,
Betty is going to have to go to the dentist pretty soon because she has a tooth that is erupting through one of her baby teeth.
It's erupting through one of her teeth.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that weird? That's weird, right?
It's supposed to be full.
That shouldn't
that
happen.
Weird.
Okay.
Vote now.
It's not like some sort of weird, like new evolutionary kind of thing. Where
yeah,
we have
well, who knows? I mean,
we get alien teeth.
She's got stuff going on, Matt. Ben,
speaking of that, speaking of that head whisk, there's a really great video out there of like this aggressive dog. Not aggressive and like it's mean, but it's like it's super jumpy and happy and all that. And somebody uses one of those whisks on its head, and it calms down, and it just like affects this super. It's almost like it got the dog stoned, right? It just started panting and closed its eyes, and it's just enjoying the moment.
You know, I gotta say, head whisk sounds like something Blur would sing about in song 2.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I just I introduced Betty to song 2 because she likes gorillas.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know Damon Albarn.
Oh yeah,
really great.
We should tell him about
and that guy's older than us. But in
we should tell him
in
about
song
the
2, he's
we
younger
should
than
tell
us.
Yes.
Oh. So we're almost at time, but Betty wanted me to mention something to you.
Wait, I want to say.
What's that?
Okay, all right. She's gonna talk to you about it. So.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a song by Gorillaz called "Dare," and it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
But
there's a live version.
Oh wait, here. I'm gonna give you Betty. Here, go ahead and put this in your ear and talk to him.
Okay.
I missed the name of the song. What's the name of the song?
Dare. The song
Dare.
Is named Dare.
Dare.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
But the live version, the guy who sings some of it gets pretty crazy. And instead of going, "It's Dare," it's like, "It's Dare."
Okay, so Sean Ryder, who is from Happy Mondays and the Black Grape.
Okay.
Is a guest artist on the song.
They do that.
And I do not mean to disparage him at all, Ben.
Listen to Dare right now.
But it is possible that he spends all the time that he's not on stage for this one song that he's a guest artist on.
Yeah.
Drinking heavily or hitting himself with a hammer.
And
because his stage presence is something to behold.
And this is the live version that you're talking about?
Yes. You should see the original version and then you should see the live version compare the two.
Oh, and also you have to search Dare Live for that and just
Dare D-A-R-E Live.
And just click on the second thing that you see for the best one, a.k.a. the worst one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it may change depending on you, because Ben loves using Bing, so it might be a different search result than you're used to.
YouTube search algorithm is probably different than Betty's.
Speaking about gorillas again, I urge you and those listening to look up Benjamin Clementine. Benjamin Clementine is a weird and talented dude.
He is so creepy. All right.
And he is sure to become a thing.
Yeah, and like every time he's on camera for the song that he does.
Because he does the song with gorillas.
He never blinks, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I mean, he has his eyes closed, but he never, ever blinks. So,
that's weird. Someone else who doesn't, I don't think, blinks is Aphex Twin, who apparently are coming out with a new album.
No, I mean, like...
Oh, they don't blink either?
I don't think so.
Or that guy?
The guy.
That guy lives in a bank vault, Betty.
Whoa.
The Aphex
Twin
guy.
No, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure off camera he blinks just because, oh my gosh.
Right, you cannot actually not blink. You have to blink.
Yep.
Yeah, but when he's
don't,
on
don't
camera.
Blink.
Don't blink.
Hey, full circle.
Hey, and also,
Doctor Who.
One final thing about music, which I was thinking of when I was walking to work this morning, is that the Stray Cats were this 80s band who
affected
this 50s persona.
Oh,
right?
I guess you're telling them. Yeah.
So the Stray Cats, they looked and sounded like they were from the 50s, but it was the 80s. That would be like a band today looking and sounding a lot like a band from the 80s. We are as far removed now as we are from the 80s, right, as the 80s were from the 50s.
All right. There is an artist, Ben, and I don't remember his name, but he does a version of Shout.
Yeah. Let It All Out.
By Tears for Fears.
Yeah.
Just look up Shout cover. I wish I could remember his name, but we keep it wrong here. We don't do it.
So it's...
Look up Shout cover. There is a guy who does like an 80s version of that with...
Oh, no. Not the microphone, Betty. Not the microphone. Betty, stop. No, Betty. Betty, no.
What is she doing?
Betty, no. Betty, stop. She's trying to put the head whisk on the microphone.
Oh, that's gonna sound
not
great.
Not while we're recording. No, not good. Not good. No, nobody. Oh gosh. So Ben, I guess
this is
it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right. Good talking.
As always, keep it wrong, Ben.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
Oh no, she's got it. Right. She put it
no,
out there.
No, don't let it happen.
It happened. Oh no, it happened. It's happening again. It's happening again. Oh, stop it. Okay. All right, Ben. I'll see you.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Yep. Okay, so, see, I have no idea what that's going to sound like. All right, I got to stop this.
Did you hear Steven yesterday say, you guys really do that?
Wait.
I thought that was a bit.
I'm sorry, Ben, this isn't a bit. I'm trying to turn this off. Stop drumming your fingers. ASMR, Betty. Okay. There we go.